Welcome to the Bureau Briefing. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors. They are amazing. Thank you to MailChimp. If you need a marketing platform, MailChimp is so much more than just email. They help you with Facebook ads, with Google ads. You just got to check them out. And the way that you can slice and dice the campaigns, it's beautiful. 10,000 feet. You know, if you need insights into your projects and your people, 10,000 feet is the resourcing tool that can help you with that. And also, gather content. Content is always the thing that drags every project down. But when you use Gather Content, you can get a handle on it. And now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Swinging by the Bureau studios today, we have got Mr. Tom Barrett from Navigate the Journey. How's it going, Tom?
It's going great, Carl. And you?
Really good. Now, I saw you in Belize.
That was awesome.
I like to say that. I like to say that to people, you know, hey, I think I saw you in Belize. And, you know, Navigate the Journey has been coming to a lot of Bureau events. We love having you there. Super smart on team dynamics, super smart on leadership strategies, things of that nature. Tell everybody a little bit about Navigate and what y'all are doing.
Yeah. So Navigate the Journey, we exist to help owners of entrepreneurial companies get what they want from their business and their life. And we do that with a number of different services, and they kind of fall into the buckets of for their company, for their team, and at the individual leader level. And then actually just recently we brought on a third person, Zach Montroy, onto our team. So we're very happy with that. But we mainly then focus on digital agencies, actually.
Well, and I can tell everybody listening, you know, a lot of the types of stuff that you do, I know as the owner of a company for a long time, I was kind of like, and then, you know, we actually went through the life plan process together. And I got to say, I'm a believer. It's like the stuff works. Like if you sit down and you're on purpose about things and you look at why you're doing different things and how it's impacting your life, stuff gets better.
Yeah. And I think we all need that, you know, because of a Navigate the Journey, when we're out there, you know, needing help in certain areas, we bring in other people because, you know, I think outsiders always bring objectivity. They usually bring, you know, a powerful and proven process. And also just by using somebody else, you know, whatever the process is, right, they're going to help you take a big step back and kind of see the bigger picture. So I think in many ways, you know, that's what Navigate the Journey, what we do best.
Well, and I have to say, one of the conversations that we were having that came up in Belize, it's been coming up in the Slack channels all over the place, is about EOS, or the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or Entrepreneur's Operating System. And for me, it's another one of those things that I was just kind of looking at. And then I had a conversation with Mark O'Brien. He was on the briefing not too long ago, and we touched on it a little bit. We talked about Traction and Gino Wickman's book. So I know this is something that you're really into right now and you're helping your clients with. So talk just a little bit for somebody who has no clue what EOS is, kind of give them a little bit of a primer.
Yeah. Great question. Be happy to do that. So EOS stands for the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And so entrepreneurial in that it was designed for companies that are ideally between about 10 people and 250 people. And, you know, entrepreneurial companies really are distinct from, you know, what probably most of your audience would call enterprise level companies. So especially with, you know, the Bureau of Digital, obviously we're all going to be influenced by, you know, Google and Amazon and what they're doing and, you know, a lot of other big technology companies out there. But oftentimes what works for large enterprise level companies won't translate as well down into entrepreneurial companies. So there's some things there I'd like to unpack. And then the other aspect of EOS, right, the operating system, is that it's a set of simple, practical, real-world tools that help entrepreneurs and their leadership teams and ultimately their whole team, you know, get what they want from their business. You already mentioned, you know, Gino Wickman, and again, Gino created EOS, and which is, you know, the book Traction lays it all out. But one of the things that Gino says is that you can't run your business on multiple operating systems. You must choose one. So whether or not by intention or design, I think a lot of entrepreneurial companies have kind of cobbled together a way of doing business that I often find to be really kind of misaligned, and not all the arrows are pointed in the same direction. And so EOS is almost like, you know, we all use either OS if we're a Mac person, or Windows if we're a PC person, right? We just use an off-the-shelf operating system to run our computer, and that's really what EOS is like for entrepreneurial businesses.
Well, I think one of the things is when you're running a shop, if you're any creative shop, you feel like what you do is different than anybody else. And so you worry that if you bring in an operating system that feels, you know, although it's not generic, it's built towards you, but it feels generic when you first hear about it, you're worried you're going to lose some of your special sauce. So how do you talk to prospects about that when they're considering it, but they're a little standoffish?
Yeah, that's a very common one, especially in this space, right? Especially with agencies that have, you know, a higher element of, you know, creativity, or they're hired because they're just uber smart developers, you know, something like Drupal. So I think then they bring that great creativity or development mindset that their clients hire them to do, which is good and great. And again, nobody else in the world can do it at that level, the creativity, the development that they can do. But I think it's a mistake to try to expend the same amount of time and energy building a business operating system. Because frankly, you know, if you're a digital marketing agency, your clients are going to hire you to run, right, their digital marketing campaigns. They're not really all that interested in what your business operating system is. So I would say, focus on what you do best, spend all your creative energy and juice on that, and not on EOS. And then another way to kind of answer, you know, where you're going with this, because again, it is kind of one of those objections I'll often hear, is that ultimately, you know, that there's an EOS model, which I could get into, but at the heart of the EOS model is your business, your agency. So there is a set of, you know, like standard tools and principles, but ultimately, it's all installed in such a way that it's going to allow the owner and the leaders to get what they want from their business. So the answers are always unique to each agency's particular situation.
Well, another side of that is a lot of times the founders, the owners, the leaders, you know, imposter syndrome or not, they're convinced that if somebody sees how they're doing it, they're going to laugh at them, right? Because they did cobble it together. They didn't go to business school. They're just doing the best they can. So do you have people that sometimes say, look, we just have to figure a couple of things out, then we can move forward?
Completely. You know, I hear that a lot. And again, that, you know, that's a very common thing. Let me talk about the EOS model, because this was one of the big breakthroughs that Gino Wickman had when, so Gino's story, just really quickly, and I think it, like a lot of things, it's actually super helpful to know, okay, where did this system come from, right? So again, Gino, he was a lifelong entrepreneur, and in his 20s found himself leading his family business in a turnaround situation, which was pretty challenging. And so he had to figure out and kind of cobble together effectively a business operating system for his family business. And he did that very well. So those of you who are familiar with Traction or EOS, and you'll see a lot of influences that you already know about. So, you know, Jim Collins, you know, the Good to Great, Patrick Lencioni, you know, the E-Myth is in there. There's a whole bunch of other great sources. But what Gino did is he realizes that there's these six key components that if you get stronger in these six key components, you can get what you want from your business. So here's basically the EOS model quickly. So the first component is vision, right? It's crystallizing where we're going, getting everybody 100% on the same page about where the business is going and how it's going to get there. And, you know, in agency world, there's no lack of vision. It's usually there's too much vision. So the vision component. Yeah. Again, with creatives, right? So the vision component will clarify all that. Then the people component, right? You can't achieve a great vision without great people. And EOS, you know, simply defines great people as sharing your core values. They're the right people. And then there's something called the accountability chart that clarifies what are the right seats for people. Third component is data. You know, too many businesses are ran on subjectives, personalities, opinions, and egos. You know, and instead, you've really got to have the discipline of managing the business based on the right set of, you know, predictive and overall objective measures. Fifth component is process. This is another one that agencies can get a little squirmy on, but you know, that's about helping you systemize the agency so that it becomes more efficient, effective, more fun, you know, more manageable, ultimately more scalable and profitable, you know, and not recreating the wheel every time you crank out another website, those kinds of things. And then the final component in the EOS model is what's called traction. Gino says it best, you know, vision without traction is hallucination. So basically traction, that component with some tools and disciplines, is all about getting the most important things done every 90 days. So yeah, that's the EOS model. And again, it works in all kinds of businesses, and I continue to see it work in agencies.
So when somebody's considering this, do they have to be prepared that some of the people on their team may have to go, that they might have to change the way that the overall makeup of the team is?
So, yes, I mean, that's the quick answer. So, you know, there's kind of a saying out there, you know, what got us here is not going to get us there. And, you know, within that whole, you know, what is, often it's people, right? And so as organizations grow and change and they get bigger and more complex, oftentimes either, typically what almost always happens is that for everybody, our role in some way needs to change. So, again, EOS with clarifying, you know, the what's called the accountability chart is all about what's the structure that we need to get to the next level, very much taking a wiping the slate clean, creating the right seats from the ground up, and only then adding in people. So every time I go through EOS, yeah, I mean, are there, you know, some people changes, but they're not always for the worst. You know, I mean, often what happens is that people are not in their best seat, that because we haven't defined the overall accountability and structure for all the seats in the agency, actually many people are actually, they're not performing as well as they otherwise could. They're not enjoying their work as well as they otherwise could. And simply by going through and clarifying all the seats with very 3 to 7 specific roles or responsibilities of that seat, it actually makes things better all around.
So it's not necessarily about having to get rid of people. Sometimes it's just repositioning what they're doing.
Correct. Here's basically how the accountability chart works in EOS. So, and again, this is all the book if your listeners want to go get it, a leadership team or an owner out there wants to do it, like, it's like you literally start with a blank sheet of paper or blank whiteboard and go, okay, what are the major functions of my agency? So usually it's like sales and marketing, and then sort of the core of the business, of course, you know, is your delivery, your design development kind of client work. And then you have, you know, operations, you know, finance, HR. So you start there. And then above that, some agencies will be big enough to have what we call an integrator that harmoniously integrates all the major functions together. And then we also talk about the visionary. That's kind of classic CEO position. And so from there, we start to customize what are the major functions. So is the sales and marketing seat, is that one seat or two seats? You know, is there somebody,
okay,
you know, and we go from there. So we end up creating these seats and then these roles and responsibilities for each seat. And only then should we evaluate current people for those seats. And so ultimately it's all about getting people in these seats that the agency needs to go to the next level. And it's all about giving people's their strengths, their weaknesses, their passions, get them in the seat that they can excel at. So that's what the purpose of the accountability chart is.
Gotcha. So you go through vision, people, data, issues, process traction. Is that right?
That's right. So those are the components, and then how it gets rolled out is a little different, but that's sort of the model, kind of the hangers mm-hmm. of the concepts.
So how does it get rolled out? Like what is that process and time frame?
Yeah. So, you know, it can vary if your listeners are going to use an outside implementer like myself. So outside implementer will come along and run the following process. So over a series of 1 day sessions, really over the first three sessions, you could kind of view it as an installation phase of EOS. So the first day, so it picture a day with the leadership team of the agency, and that of course is another conversation. You know, who's on the leadership team, right? But it's a good one. So what happens in the focus day is that what we get to is we teach a concept called hitting the ceiling and these five leadership abilities that every organization needs to master, all leaders need to master, because inevitably every business hits a ceiling. So EOS as a whole helps with these five leadership abilities: the ability to predict, systemize, structure, simplify, and delegate. So we teach that first and just put it in people's minds that all of this is going to help us do those great activities. Then we go to the accountability chart. That takes about half the day because there's just a lot of great conversation that needs to happen to objectively create that right structure. So that takes about 4 hours. Then we take a first crack at what we call a scorecard, your weekly scorecard. We create rocks. Those are 90-day priorities, first at the agency level, then at the individual leadership team level. And then we basically just conclude the meeting. And then 30 days later, we come back for what's called vision building day one. So in between the first session and the second session, you know, typically owners and their teams, they're iterating some of the various tools, you know, like the accountability chart, especially. So they're bringing, so in the 30 days later back at the vision building day one, we start out by reviewing all of the focus day tools, seeing the next iteration, discussing them, you know, getting them as complete as we can. Then we start answering the eight vision questions in EOS. So quickly, those are core values, core focus, 10-year target, marketing strategy, three-year picture, one-year plan, your quarterly rocks, and your long-term issues. And then there's one document called a VTO where you end up documenting all that. But that actually takes two sessions. Typically, it's a vision building day one, and then 30 days later, vision building day two. So I know that probably your listeners are like, oh my gosh, that's a lot. And yeah, right. It is, you know, and it is. And that's, so there's a spaced learning approach with EOS. So it's not all rolled out at once. And that's part of the, I think, the psychology of spacing out the first three sessions, 30 days apart. But, and also the first three sessions are actually the hardest. So for, you know, for listeners who are, you know, going to self-implement, I would encourage you to stick with it, because it's sort of like you're climbing the mountain with a heavy load. The first three sessions, a lot of people want to, you know, give up because this is hard. But after getting through those first three sessions, then EOS moves into every 90 days, you have a 1 day quarterly session where you're reviewing the prior quarter. Those, you know, did we hit our rocks? We set rocks for the quarter ahead. We review our vision. And then we have, we basically discuss our big issues. We identify, discuss, and solve the most pressing issues. And that creates what's called then a 90-day world. That's also one of the genius things that Gino, when he created EOS, is that he ultimately has created this system, which again is just pure genius, because in goal setting, I think one of the big mistakes that's often made for all kinds of organizations is that we set annual goals or six-month goals, or sometimes we do a planning session with sort of some vague sense of when we're going to have it completed. But the beauty of when you get into that quarterly cycle with EOS is that there's a day of accountability, just good, healthy accountability coming. And if Tom has, you know, two rocks that he has got to get done for the sake of the agency, you know, that are due on September 30th, well, I'm gonna work, act differently, and actually get those done, because I know on September 30th, I'm gonna sit around a room with my colleagues and they're gonna ask me, is that done or not done?
So with all of that, when you decide, like if there's a day one where you decide to start implementing, And you said that there's 30 days possibly between the first and second session, and it goes on. At what point would a company say we're using EOS, even knowing that they're going to have the quarterly check-ins or whatever? Like, from the beginning, to what point do you feel that you've got the new system in place?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's actually there's what's called the EOS Organizational Health Checkup, and you can find that on EOSworldwide.com, or if people reach out to me, I can certainly send them a copy. But it's a 20 question or 20 multiple choice question survey. It's really quick, and if you're an owner or if you're a leader out there, you want your leadership team to take this, you actually would get an objective reading on a scale of 1 to 100. How strong is your agency today? Actually, on each of the 6 key components. So what we do when we're starting EOS, so a great thing to do right before you start is like take that assessment, see how strong you are, see how strong or weak you are in the various components, and then along the journey, take that quick assessment again, and you'll get a sense. You can also do that verbally, of course, with the EOS model. You know, how strong, you know, are we on the vision component or the people component, etc. So that's a way to gauge it. I would say the other big way to gauge it is that, you know, ultimately EOS is about helping companies get 3 things. We call it vision, traction, and healthy. And ultimately, right, you know, again, clarifying where we're going, how we're getting there, traction, getting the most important things done. So we should see our business results, or, you know, if we have a strong purpose, right, we're actually having more impact in the world. And in healthy, are we becoming more relationally healthy? All those things should be progressing. So whenever you get to a place, so you should be able to monitor that progress. But the last thing I'll say on this is that, you know, EOS is not kind of this one and done kind of thing. It, you know, if you're going to embark on the EOS journey, you've really got to be committed to it long term, because again, it's your long term operating system to get what you want from your business. And it's, if you let your foot off the pedal, all the old bad habits will start to emerge again.
So one final question, when we're looking at this, you know, especially shops that are in the bureau, you know, a lot of bureau shops are in that 5 to 50 full-time employee range. And something that's, I think it's just as prominent today as it was 10 years ago, but this whole concept of the flat organization, right? Now, I ran a flat organization until the day I realized that only one person is ever really in trouble if things go bad. So you can call it flat, but there's still an owner, and that person's the one who's holding the bag at the end of the day. But what do you say to companies who feel that part of their culture is this everybody has a say mentality?
Well, yeah. So I think it's a nice idea. I don't think it works in reality, or at least people. There's also a difference between having a voice and a vote. So I definitely believe that, you know, everybody should be able to express their opinion and their view. But, you know, if there's 6 or 8 people in a room, which is very common, right, in a creative agency, at some point somebody's got to make the decision. So, you know, in the US, so again, we call it the accountability chart. We don't call it, you know, the hierarchical bureaucracy chart. It's all about, yeah, right? Who's accountable? And, you know, the other thing too, I'll say with all of this, you know, the Gallup and their infinite wisdom because of their research, you know, one of the 12 employee engagement questions they ask that really all employees need to be able to score highly on is, I know what's expected of me. And I think there's a lot of good with the whole, again, the flat structure. Again, I get all the good of that. But ultimately, can each person in your agency say, I know what I'm responsible for, what I'm accountable for, and I know what everybody else is accountable for, as opposed to it being some free-for-all where I'm not really sure who's accountable for what?
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. It's the biggest issue with most flat organizations isn't so much that everyone has a voice, it's that nobody's sure what's going on.
That's just it, a lack of clarity. And, you know, also then there's a great thing is that, you know, we don't need to have certainty, we just need clarity.
Right. Well, Tom, thanks so much for swinging by the Bureau Briefing today. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you giving us some insights on EOS.
I appreciate it, Carl. Anytime.